Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
It's nice to see you, though some are missing, sick, and we hope the Lord will bless them and strengthen them and bring them back again amongst us. We do welcome a new pupil. I'm sure you have already welcomed the new pupil and made him feel at home, and I trust that he will indeed feel at home amongst each one here. We're turning to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. That's the fourth gospel, the chapter 17. Now, as you know, we have been looking at this wonderful chapter because you have recorded here a prayer that the Savior prayed at the end of his ministry, just before he was crucified, and shortly after that event, he went up to heaven and sat down at the right hand of his Father. And there, as it were, he continued to pray what he had been praying, as recorded in John chapter 17. And I have striven to press on you at this moment in heaven. The Lord Jesus is praying for his people, thinking of them, watching over them, and asking the Father to supply to them their every need, to protect them, preserve them, look out for them. Oh, that we might grasp that. We might be separated from mom and dad while we're at school, some anyway, but you're never, if you're saved, you're never separated from the Lord. Wherever we go, he's there. Now, this is our last study of this particular subject. Next week, in the will of the Lord, we're going to move to another subject, which I have entitled, Faith, Mighty Faith. I took that title from a hymn, which we likely sing next Tuesday morning, but I'll say no more about that coming subject, but rather turn your attention now to the verse 24 of John 17. Verse 24. Just have a little look at it. Now I'll read it. And I want you to think about what we have. You can see right away from the very first word, the Lord Jesus is speaking to his Father. And what is it he's asking? Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. This is a lovely verse, and it's a good verse for us to end our study upon. Here we have expressed very clearly the will of the Lord Jesus. He says here, Father, I will. We might say, Father, I want, I desire the following. And that's what the Savior was saying to his Father. He was expressing to his Father what it is he wanted his Father to do. We'll notice who it is that he wants his Father to act for, those that thou hast given me. That's who the Savior's praying for. We'll think a little about that in a moment or two. And he's then saying what it is he wants for those whom the Father hath given him. He wants them to be with him. That's God's will for you. If you're saved, he wants you to be with Christ. Now, he wants you from day to day to walk with Christ, to be in the company of Christ. And then, in eternity, he wants you to be there in heaven with Christ. And then he says something else. He says, I want them to be with me that they may see my glory. Oh, boys and girls, if only I had the words to explain to you what lies ahead for you. During our life, many times perhaps mum or dad has said, do you know where we are going tomorrow? And then they name some very exciting place, and we jump up and down for joy at the thought we're going to see such and such a thing tomorrow. We get very excited. But listen, nothing that a loving father and mother can ever plan for you or take you to see can compare with what God has in store for you if you're saved to see. Be with me where I am that they may behold my glory. I can't describe the glory of the Lord. I can take you to various passages in the Bible where something of the glory of the Lord is set forth, but I can't describe it beyond my ability, beyond my mental capacity to tell you what the glory of the Lord is like. So that's what the verse is here saying. I want to start with asking the question, who is it that the Lord is praying for? Who is the Savior praying for here? Well, the verse tells us, Father, I would that they also whom thou hast given me. He's praying for those that the Father has given to the Savior. Now that exchange, that transaction took place in eternity. Took place in eternity. It didn't happen yesterday or 1,000 years ago or 6,000 years ago. It happened before this world was ever formed. It happened, let me put it like this, it happened during a conversation between the Father and the Son. And the Father said to the Lord Jesus, I will give you a people, and that people you will have to save. And that entailed him taking the place of his people under judgment at the cross and suffering and paying the price of their redemption from sin. But this is for whom he is now praying. I'm praying for that people whom thou hast given me. Now, just without taking too much time, if you look at verse 7, you'll see that phrase is there concerning those that the Savior has received from the Father. It's repeated again in the verse 9. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. And then again, you see it in verse 11. He says, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. And now here in our verse, we have this phrase again. This reference to those whom the Father hath given to the Lord Jesus. Now, when something is repeated, and you know this from the classroom, when some important aspect of the subject you're studying comes up, what does the teacher do? Repeat, repeat. They tell you it again and again, so that you remember. And when you find God repeating something, he wants you to remember it. And there's something, therefore, very important about this fact, this truth. God the Father has given to the Lord Jesus Christ a people. Are you saved? That's an important question. Are you saved? Are you saved? Well, let me tell you, you can trace in the scriptures where that all began. If you're saved, how it is you have come about to be saved. Not everybody is saved. And if you don't know that, you will, when you grow up and go out into the world to work, you'll discover that there are people who don't believe for a moment in being saved and mock and sneer and belittle the notion of being saved. Not everybody's saved. Therefore, if you're saved today, how has that come about? Well, here we have it. Everyone who is saved is one of those given to the Son by the Father. We can trace our salvation back to a moment in eternity when this transaction took place. Before you were ever born, before the world was created, God thought upon a people. God loved the people and said to his Son, I'm giving you this people for you to see it. I can, for those older ones, direct you to two verses in the book of the Revelation, which underscores this particular truth. Revelation chapter 13 and the verse 8. Now this is speaking here of a future day on the earth when Antichrist, the devil's man, will have come to power and will receive the support of the ungodly in this world. Verse 8 of Revelation 13 says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Jesus, here we are told, was slain from the foundation of the world. Now, we know that he was crucified at Calvary about 2,000 years ago. So what does it mean he was slain from the foundations of the world? It simply means that in that conversation I talked about between the Father and the Son, it was agreed from before the world was made that Jesus would die for his people. He was marked for death, marked for death. And when he was born, do you remember when he was born in Bethlehem? Where was he laying? In a manger, among animals. And that signified the fact that the Lord Jesus had come as the Lamb of God to be sacrificed for his people. Then look at chapter 17 of Revelation and the same verse, as it were, the verse 8. The beast, that's the same person we've been looking at or thinking of in chapter 13, the Antichrist. The beast that thou sawest was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Chapter 13, verse 8 talks about the Lord Jesus slain from the foundations of the world. Here we have the people of God whose names are written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Is your name there? If you're saved, your name is there. And you're saved because your name was there. Oh, boys and girls, this is the people for whom the Lord Jesus is praying. Those given him by the Father before the foundations of the world. What is it that the Savior wants for them? What does he desire for his people? He's asking his Father to do something for his people. If you're saved, this is what the Father is working out in your life. He says in verse 24, back at John chapter 17, verse 24, that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Now, listen to me, boys and girls. You don't know how this day will proceed. You don't know where you might be before the sun sets. You might end up in a place that you never expected to be. When you go home, Mum and Dad may say, oh, we're going out now for something to eat, or something of that nature. And you might find plans are made that you knew nothing about, and you find yourself unexpectedly in a different place from what you might have anticipated. But let me tell you, there's one place, if you're saved, I can tell you, you're going to be in. And you're going to be there because the Father will make sure of it. And the Father will make sure of it because his Son has asked him to do it. Are you saved today? Well, you're going to where Christ is. You're going to be with him. You're going to be with him. We sung that lovely hymn this morning, and it is because of this truth that we sung it. Forever with the Lord. Amen. So let it be. That's what will happen to you if you're saved someday. You're going to be with the Lord. And you're going to be there because the Father has brought you there. Your Father has brought you there. And before I leave that, let me just emphasize that our going to be with the Lord Jesus begin when we hear the gospel. And when we hear the gospel, by the grace of God, we are drawn. Where? To church? Well, that might be one of the results. Amongst the people who believe the Bible? Well, yes, that too might be one of the results. But when we hear the gospel and we're one of those given to Christ, then we respond. And as the Savior says in John chapter 6 and the verse 37, him that cometh to me. When you obey the gospel and come to Christ by faith, you're starting the journey that will end in heaven. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And then there's another few verses along those lines. The Savior says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So, we're going to be with Christ. And the journey begins when we obey the gospel and come to the Savior. And when that happens, You might not realize it now. When that happens and you come to Christ and receive Him as your Savior and you start for heaven, on one hand, there is the Savior. On the other hand, there is the Father. And they're holding on to us. They've got us by the hand. And no man shall pluck us out of their hands. That's what the Savior says. Isn't that lovely? How secure the Christian is. Now, I must rush on and consider thirdly with you, the Savior wants His people not only to be with Him, but He wants them to see His glory. He wants them to see His glory. Look at what it says. I have to read it out so that you're sure that I'm saying the right thing. Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory. I might say this, boys and girls, the whole purpose of us going to heaven is to see Christ in His glory. That's what it's all about. That's what heaven's all about, seeing Christ in His glory. Now, the glory of the Lord has never been fully seen by man. No one has ever seen the full glory of Christ. Moses on one occasion said, "Show me Thy glory." He said that up on the mountain when he was up receiving the Ten Commandments at that period in his life. "Show me Thy glory." He longed to see it. And that's the longing of every child of God. But the Father said to him, or the Lord said to him, "No, I can't show you My glory, because if I was to reveal My glory to you, it would kill you. It is more than you could stand. In this earthly body, we couldn't behold the glory of the Lord. But when we get to heaven, we will have a new body. When we will see the Lord in all His glory, we will have a new body. And in that condition, we will be able to behold the Lord." It says in Revelation that we shall see Him face to face. When Moses had that experience at the burning bush, you remember? He saw the bush burning and he realized the leaves are not crinkling up and turning brown and falling. No, nor the branches. They're not getting blackened. This is a strange thing. I must go over and examine this. And when he came over, the Lord spoke to him and said, "I am the Lord." And it says Moses hid his face. He was afraid to look on God. He's afraid to look on God. He had some understanding. I can't look on God's glory. It would kill me. Up there on the mount, he had the desire to look on the Lord, but he was told you can't because it would kill you. No, there never has been anyone who has fully seen the glory of the Lord. Now, glimpses of His glory have been seen. I've already mentioned that, which Moses had experienced. Listen to another verse. This is in Exodus chapter 16, the verse 10. "And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud." In a cloud. Have you ever watched a plane flying across the sky, and it comes to a cloud, and it goes into it, and it disappears? You can't see it. A cloud is a covering. And when the children of Israel looked out into the wilderness, they saw a cloud. And thus, the glory of the Lord was concealed to a large degree. That cloud would have indicated something of the shining glory, what they call in the Bible the Shekinah glory of the Lord. But it was somewhat hidden behind that cloud. Oh yes, there have been those who have had glimpses of the glory of the Lord. Peter, James and John up on the mountain, brought up by the Lord. And while they were there, suddenly the Savior was transformed before them. His transfiguration, and His garments began to shine. And something of the glory that was His broke through, as it were. Yes, there have been those who have had glimpses, but no man on this earth has ever seen what you, if you're saved, will see in heaven, the full glory of the Lord. In fact, we can say that we will both see the glory of the Lord in heaven and we will share in that glory. John the Apostle wrote this in his first epistle, 1 John chapter 3 and the verse 2. Behold, or beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, that is when Christ comes again, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We'll be changed into the likeness of Christ, glorified, and then we will be able to see him as he is. That's the hope of the child of God. If that hope is in you now, that one day you're going to be with the Lord, you're going to be like the Lord, you're going to share in his glory, that will drive you every day to be like him as much as in you lies. You will try to act like him, speak like him, live like him, pray like him, because one day you're going to be fully like him, fully like him. You know, there's boys, and perhaps they think far too much of some football player, and they watch that player and see the little tricks he can do with the football, and they try to be like that. Well, the Christian studies what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus, and they seek to be like him. Oh, remember that today. May the Lord bless you, boys and girls. Let's bow in prayer. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, I pray that the truths we have set before the children this morning will take hold upon their hearts, especially the older ones. May they ponder the fact that God here reveals what lies ahead of each one who is saved. And Lord, may that have an impact on every child here that's saved. And may they prepare for that time and seek to live, to be like Christ. Bless the school. Bless the school. May the presence of the Lord be amongst the boys and the girls, giving them peace of mind and heart and soul. Bless the staff as well, and all the concerns that work here. This we ask in the Saviour's name. Amen. Amen.